My name's Dave Robbins. This is a second part of Born and Braised in Bishop Staten. And once again, I apologise for sounding like anything between a really broad Dartmoor farmer and a pirate, but it is the way it is. My secondary education was completed at both Tynmouth Secondary School and Tynmouth Grammar School about 1975. And I got a place at Sealhain Agricultural College. The practical year was spent at Shute Farm in Bishop Staten, although the school holidays previous to that had allowed me to work on the farm to get some experience. As a boy at the primary school, I'd look out from the playground at Mr. Lamble's Frisian cows walking from the farm to the fields, and a visit one day from the primary school to the farm was enough to influence me to want to become a farm manager. So at 16 years old, working for Ian Lamble, I took my tractor test at Colesbarn Junction in Bishop Staten. And I remember being nervous as a kitten and the driving examiner jumping out in front of me to conduct an emergency stop. And I had to show him the hand signals left and right, no indicators. And I can remember as clear as daylight, I felt like I was driving a juggernaut, which in subsequent years, I did. Milking Ian Lamble's cows was my first real job, and it was fabulous. I absolutely loved it. It was long hours and it was really hard work. And I think at peak, there was about 80 cows that walked up and down through the village from Shute Hill, down Shute Hill, down to Colesbarn, along the main road to the fields. And that would be done four times daily. So up and back and up and back. And it was done single-handedly. And I do remember the cows would actually stay the correct side of the white line when we were taking them along the main road. The other fields were, we would turn the cows right into Cockhaven Lane, and we'd end up going to the fields at the end by Metro Motors. And in the narrow part of Cockhaven, there was a guy that lived down there called Lou Back, and he would kind of stand outside his house and congratulate me if I managed to get the cows past his place without any mess on the road. Those cows became somewhat iconic in the village, and a song was written about them, actually referencing the fact that they would hold up the village bus, which was the Devon General 2B Albion Nimbus. And as a kid, I can remember looking at it, the 2B was the village bus. It would also hold up all the clay lorries along the main road. And I can recall that most of the people living in the village accepted the cows, but it was often the newcomers that would have a little bit of a moan and a little bit of a dig, and we would listen to them and take absolutely no notice whatsoever. The Lamble family that I sort of worked with, there was Ian and Gwyneth Lamble, and they had six kids, three boys, three girls, David, Richard and Robert, Anne, Elizabeth and Caroline. The kids all went to the primary school, and three of the lads still live in Bishop Staten today. We had some fabulous times, and I can remember other village characters that would come and visit the farm. One I recall was a village blacksmith who was Dickie Bird, and Dickie Bird would speak for hours, usually when we were busy. Dickie would moan about how the village had changed, how he didn't know anybody, and he'd be stood at the roadside talking to him, trying to get away. And he'd say, oh, I don't know anybody in the village now, Dave. Hello, Mrs. Somebody, all right? I don't know anybody in the car. All right, Noel, all right, Dickie. He'd be telling me he didn't know anybody, and yet everybody would be waving to him. And Dickie Bird was a fabulous character. Another guy was Bob Sampson. He lived in Cockhaven Lane, and Bob was a former dairy farmer from Luton whose herd got wiped out by foot and mouth in the 60s. And as a 16-year-old, I can remember Bob would swear for England. He would F and blind all the time, but he had a heart of gold. He was a great chap. We had farming brothers Edward and Julian Perkin, along with their father, who we knew as Old Man Perkin, who lived next door to Shute Farm. They would come and talk to Ian Lamble, who was Mr. Lamble to me, about other farming matters. And very occasionally, the herdsman, a guy called Max Friedrich, from Dawes Farm. Max worked in a state-of-the-art dairy unit up at Dawes Farm, which I was very envious of. And he'd come and visit me when I was milking the cows. And he would say to me in a German accent, he'd say, Dave, you see, I have no stick in my Mittenparler, no stick at all. And I'd say, well, that's really good, Max. That's fantastic. You know, I use a stick to guide the cows. I don't have no stick, Dave. I have a nail. And when they won't get out of the parlour, I poke them with the nail. Which tickled me at the time, good old Max. The days at Shute Farm were varied. The winter would almost be permanently milking the cows, walking the cows up and down to the kale fields. And I felt like you were permanently dressed in cow dung, you were. The herd were kept overnight during the winter in a covered yard, and the resultant slurry would be transported through the village in a Harrod rotor spreader. And I do recall that the roads were almost permanently covered in a coating of cow slurry. The summer days were great. Obviously milking the cows twice a day. We had the hay harvest where Mr. Lamble would drive the tractor and the baler. And the Lamble lads and I would go out and pick up the bales by hand. And then back in the day, other village lads would join in. Andy McDill, who lived in West Town Meadows, Steve Harrington, who lived in Tapley. And we'd be sat on the top of the load, or I would be driving it, thinking I'm driving a juggernaut, through the village, carefully not allowing the branches to take the heads off the people that were sat on top of the load. And there is no way in this world that health and safety would allow that to happen today. Not a hope in hell.